Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Appreciate that as well. It's, I don't know, from week to week, you know, I don't give the worship leaders much. I give them scripture and like the title, kind of maybe some big points, but and just marvel at what God does in choosing the songs and prompting them to pick them. And it's, I don't know, it's one of those things, why do I get amazed every time? I don't know. God is God and he's got this figured out. But I'm excited today. I'm ready to roll. I had a couple of days off this week. I went to the beach. We were, thanks to the generosity of several people, we were able to, last minute, my wife drove four of the kids, the younger ones, down to Ocean Isle this week. And because of things I do, you know, like Sunday mornings, I couldn't go down until the middle of the week. I got to fly down there, and I can tell you without any doubt, flying is easier than driving. But spending time on the beach, I asked God the whole time, like the flight down when I finally was starting to wind down a little bit, I said, God, just help me unplug. Just let me be present with my family. Let me just not worry about even my two older kids who are back manning the fort, living the high life. they're good kids. And my Heather just said, you know, isn't it a blessing that we can leave and not worry? Right? I mean, I trust them completely. I don't want to know if you did anything you weren't supposed to do. Don't tell me that. But I was able to unwind and just sit on the beach. And the beach is my happy place, like, you know, with my family, obviously. But it's that place where I'm there and I'm able to unwind. And so I appreciate having the flexibility to do that. But as I came back today, I woke up, man, I was ready to roll. I texted my wife probably 15 times of things that are coming up in the next 2 weeks that I need help with, or that just a reminder about. And I said, I unplugged for 2 days, but I'm going after it. Well, we're in Acts chapter 4 today, and I'm wound up, so I pray, I'm glad Dale even finished a little earlier, so that gives me more time. But God has got a message in this text today, and I trust him that he's going to bring it out, use the preparation he's given me, and then poke me when I need to just go after it. But we're in Acts chapter 4. We're in the midst of our series. We're jumping through the first, you know, seven or so chapters of Acts right now. The first part, I'm just calling it the birth of the church. And we've watched as God has orchestrated all of this, the birth, literally the church just starting. And with from a few men and 120 men and women, and it's exploding that first day, some 3,000. And we'll read in the text today that it exploded even more to 5,000. I mean, you're talking about a short period of time and God is on fire and the Holy Spirit is just working. But we're going to be looking at a text today that kind of it piggybacks to last week's. As if you remember last week in Acts chapter 3, you know, Peter did this miracle. Peter and John came upon, they went to the synagogue, the temple to pray like they did every single day. And in the midst of that, another guy who was a beggar, who was lame, couldn't get up on his own, had to have people carry him, was just going about his day, and God showed up in the midst of that. And I challenged you to really, as we go into this world and we live life, do we live life with that expectant urgency that God is going to work? You know, I was talking, Heather and I had some good conversations a couple of days, and one of the things we kind of just marveled at is, do we not expect enough from God? In other words, do we not dream big enough? Do we not, I don't know, maybe me, it's, do I not believe that God can do these amazing things still today? And I do believe that, but sometimes in my life, I get stuck in the ordinary. I get stuck in the every day, the every week. I have a list that I have to accomplish every week. That's how my brain works and how it keeps me focused mostly, keeps me going in the right direction. But do I live my life with that expectant urgency? And so as they wrapped that up, Peter, then now we're going to be moving into chapter 4. And I just want to spend just a couple minutes talking about just kind of the political, the spiritual landscape. You know, in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, we just see that that the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees all come up to Peter and John, who were speaking to the people. So after they gave that incredible message, proclaimed Christ boldly, the spiritual, the church people of the day came up. And so we had the priests, right? They were in charge of observing the laws. They may not have had a lot of political power, but they certainly had an incredible amount of influence. And so somebody coming in like this Jesus and now Peter and John and the other followers, they kind of upset the apple cart a little bit. We had the temple guard. You could think of them as like the police there. They were the ones that were sort of in charge of keep making sure things didn't happen that weren't supposed to happen, you know, like keeping the Gentiles out of where they weren't supposed to be and just kind of keeping order, protecting the treasury and all of that. They were, if you remember from the Garden of Gethsemane, they would have been the people that went most likely to arrest Jesus. So they had some kind of authoritative position there. Maybe they stepped over their bounds with Jesus, but that's what was supposed to happen. And the third group that's mentioned is the Sadducees. And all I could think about that was youth group. When Dan would go, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in necessarily in the spiritual, the amazingness. They didn't, you know, the resurrection, the afterlife, any of that stuff. So when someone came in preaching about that and people were going to that, the Sadducees would have been sad, you see. Anyways, if you didn't catch that the first time, they would have been the kind of that connection, that political aristocracy that were trying to be the Jews, but living like the Romans. So they were kind of having their feet stuck in both worlds, probably more so in the Roman world. And so their power, their control would have been affected by these disciples, these apostles preaching about Jesus. And so you can see that as I'm reading chapter 4 and thinking about it, I'm not so sure they're really upset with Jesus. They're just upset that they're losing their power. They're upset that people are turning away from them, not coming to them. You know, there's that saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And some of the most dangerous people in history were people that had absolute power and started to lose it. You think of Hitler, you think of any Stalin, you think of any dictator in history that had absolute, or thought they did, control, and they started to lose it. And so this unrest that was happening kind of makes me think a little bit about some of the political unrest we have today. You think about it, it's people that are in control that when things get pulled out from under them or they lose control, they get upset and they try to grip tightly to that power. And so that's kind of where my mind was as I'm thinking about this as we come to Acts chapter 4. So let me read. We're going to read the first 22 verses. Again, it's a longer section, but I think you'll understand. We'll get through the whole story, the account, and then we'll go back and look at it. Starting in verse 1, it says, "The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead." So remember that Sadducees, they didn't believe in that. They were preaching it, so it upsets them. Verse 3, "They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So keep in mind, that's just the men. So you count women and children in there, there could have been many, many more thousand. "The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name do you do this?'" Verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we..."